said, so a person who says the like of this deviation, he begins by saying that the names of the creation are the same as the names carried by the Creator. And then this leads him to go on and say, therefore the attributes of the creation are the same as the attributes of the Creator. And the way in which this is deviation is that actually Allah's names indicate meanings which befit Allah alone. It is not possible that these names carry meanings which are the same as the meanings indicated with regard to the names of the creation. Then the fourth category of deviation with regard to Allah's names is that a person extracts from the names of Allah or derives from them names for idols, false objects of worship, in the way that they extracted the name Alert, which they took for one of their idols. They extracted it from Al-Ilah, the one who truly deserves to be worshipped, or they extracted it from Allah's name Allah. And the way in which they extracted the name Al-Uzza from Allah's name Al-Aziz, the Almighty. And the way they extracted the name for one of their idols, Manat, from Allah's name, Al-Mannan, the bestower of blessings. They did this in order to claim a share of divinity and right to worship for their idols, to justify what they themselves were upon. So he's mentioned here the four kinds of deviation with regard to Allah's names. Then he mentions a different point, which is, he makes the point here that what we should deny when we affirm that we affirm for Allah whatever names he has affirmed for himself, without, we say without ta'atil, without depriving them of their meaning, and without tamthil, we should say, and without tamthil, without declaring Allah's names and attributes to be like those of the creation. He said we should use the term, and we should deny tamthil. It is better to use that term, that we do not do tamthil. It's better to say that than using the word we do not do tashbih. We do not declare any resemblance. So when we deny this fact, we should say we affirm for Allah his names that he has affirmed for himself without tamthil. That is better than saying we do it without tashbih. And then he gives three reasons. For three reasons. Firstly, denying tamthil, that is what Allah himself has denied in the Quran. Because he said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Surah Ash-Shura, the 11th ayah, that there is nothing mithl, there is nothing like Allah. There's no tamthil for Allah, there's nothing like him. And he is the hearing, the seeing. So Allah himself denies tamthil. The second reason we should use that term tamthil, we deny tamthil, is that there are no two things in existence except that there will be some resemblance, tashabuh, between them from certain aspects. And there will be something common in meaning between those two things in existence from certain aspects. So for example, the Creator and the creation, they have existence common between them. I mean, the Creator exists and the creation exists. So that is something that is common between them. However, the existence of the Creator is an existence particular to him, and the existence of the creation is an existence that is particular to it. And the same goes with regard to knowledge and hearing and seeing and the like of that. The Creator and the creation have these attributes in common between them, with regard to the basis of the meaning. Yet, each of them has these attributes in the manner befitting them. I mean that the knowledge of Allah is knowledge which as befits Him, whereas the knowledge of the creation is as befits the creation. The knowledge of Allah is perfect knowledge. It did not have ignorance before it, and it is not followed by forgetfulness. It is perfect knowledge of everything in all its details, whereas the knowledge of the creation is knowledge which came about after the creation was previously ignorant, and then its knowledge of the creation is subject to forgetfulness, and it is knowledge which is limited. So likewise with regard to the rest of the attributes. Yet the fact that the Creator has knowledge and the creation has knowledge in the origin of the meaning, that is common to both. So we should, what we deny is tamthil, that the knowledge of the Creator is like the knowledge of the creation. Then he said the third reason is because the people disagree about the term tashbih, about what it means, to the extent that there are some people who say tashbih means affirming Allah's attributes itself. That anyone who affirms an attribute for Allah, they say straight away he's automatically done tashbih. So when they say we affirm for Allah names and attributes without tashbih, then what they actually mean is we do not actually affirm any attributes for Allah at all. So we should not use the term we affirm for Allah attributes without tashbih. Rather we should say we affirm for Allah attributes that He has affirmed for Himself without tamthil. Then the Shaykh moves on with regard to the next part of the ayah. The saying of Allah the Most High, سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, they will be punished for that which they used to do. The Shaykh said, he did not say they will be punished with a punishment. Rather, they will be punished with that which they for that which they used to do, indicating that the punishment they will receive will be of the same kind as the action that they did. This is a threat. Just as Allah the Most High said in a different ayah, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ, Surah Al-Rahman, the 55th surah, ayah 31. We will deal with you, O mankind and jinn. That ayah does not mean that Allah the Mighty and Majestic is at present preoccupied, too preoccupied to deal with the creation, and that at some later time He will be free to deal with them. Rather, what is meant is a threat to them. So likewise in this ayah here, سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, it's a threat upon them, they should take heed of. Then the Shaykh makes another point. He's saying in the ayah, and all of these points as you can see are taken from and understood and related to this one ayah. The Shaykh said, he's saying in the ayah, يَعْمَلُونَ, that which they did, or that which they do. Shaykh said, amal, action, is used to apply to sayings and actions. Just as Allah the Most High said in Surah Al-Zalzala, the 99th Surah, ayahs 7 and 8 at the end, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ, whoever does an atom's weight of good, he will see it, and whoever does an atom's weight of evil, he will see it. Shaykh said this covers actions and sayings. Even though action is mentioned, ya'mal, it covers both actions and sayings. Then he brings, or he refers to, the saying of the author, and it is, and Ibn Abi Hatim mentions from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ, they deviate with regard to his names. He said, يُشْرِكُونَ. We already had that the chain of narration for that is not authentic, but it is authentic as a saying of Qatada. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, so this is an explanation of their deviation, and it covers what they did. What they did comprises shirk from two aspects. Firstly, that they made Allah's names indicate likeness between the Creator and the creation. So that is shirk. And the second thing those people of shirk did was that they used to derive from Allah's names names for their idols. As is clearly mentioned in the second report from Ibn Abbas, which the author mentioned after. Then the Shaykh said, so whoever makes Allah's names such that they indicate likeness between the Creator and the creation, then he has done shirk, because he has made someone else to be like Allah. So that is shirk. And whoever does the second, whoever extracts from Allah's names names for idols, false objects of worship, then he has done shirk along with Allah. Because he has made those things carrying those names to be partners along with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then he moves on to the next report. And from him, I mean from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he said they called Alat, they extracted the name Alat from Allah's name Al-Ilah, and they extracted the name Al-Uzza for their idol from Allah's name Al-Aziz, the Almighty. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, from him, meaning from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he's saying they extracted the name Alat from Allah's name Al-Ilah. He said, this is the other one of the two types of shirk, which is to extract name from Allah's names, names for idols. Then he makes a small side point, which I won't mention because regard to something that happens amongst the Arab people are saying that they've got in the, that some women say. I don't think we find it here, so I'll just leave that point. And he goes to the next report, وَعَنِ الْأَعْمَشِ, and from Al-A'mash, who said, it means they enter into Allah's names that which is not from them. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, from Al-A'mash, and there's a side point, then Al-A'mash was Sulaiman ibn Mihran, Abu Muhammad, the great Imam in Hadith and Fiqh and Tafsir. That is how Shaykh al-Fawzan described him, this great Imam from the Tabi'een, Al-A'mash, great scholar of Hadith and Fiqh and Tafsir. He was born in Kufa, and he lived in Kufa, and he was from the Tabi'een. He saw some of the companions, and his narrations are from the others of the Tabi'een. He lived until the year 148, and died at the age of 88, rahimahullah. That he said about this ayah, that they enter into Allah's names that which is not from them. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, so this is one of the types of ilhad, one of the types of deviation, which is that you call Allah with names that he himself has not given to himself. And whoever adds other names that are not his to his names, then he has done deviation, ilhad. Because what is obligatory is that you stop and withhold at those names mentioned in the text. Then the Shaykh mentions a point of completion, and we'll take in this the last point that the Shaykh brings in the chapter, a point of completion. He said, there are some texts occurring which mention a threat for those who do ilhad, those who deviate, with regard to the signs of Allah. So this chapter is mentioning deviation with regard to Allah's names, his asma. Shaykh said, just a point of completion here. It's a good time to mention this point, and it's useful. He said that there are also some texts mentioning a threat for those who deviate with regard to Allah's ayat, his signs, the signs of Allah the Most High. And he gives two ayahs. He said, such as the saying of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا. Surah Fussilat, the 41st Surah, Ayah 40. with the explanation, as for those who deviate with regard to our signs, then they are not hidden from us. Then the Shaykh, and he's actually quoting one, not as I said, two ayahs, he quotes one ayah. He said, so the saying of Allah in this ayah, لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا, with the meaning they are not hidden from us. He said this contains a threat, because the meaning of it is we will punish them. And this is emphasized by the inna, inna. So that shows emphasis. We will certainly punish those who deviate with regard to our signs. Then he mentions the point. And the signs of Allah, the ayat of Allah, are of two categories. Firstly, ayat kawniya, the signs of Allah, the creational signs, the signs of Allah in the creation, which is all of the created things, the heavens and the earth and the stars and the mountains and the trees and the creatures and so on. All of these are signs of Allah in his creation. Then he said, and the poet said, and he quotes the two lines of poetry, how strange and amazing that the true Lord who is worshipped should be disobeyed. And how can anyone deny him when everything that exists contains a sign for him, proving that he is one? Then the Shaykh said, and deviation with regard to Allah's signs in creation is of three types. Firstly, believing that there is anyone else besides Allah who is alone in producing these signs, or in producing any of them. Secondly, believing that there is anyone who is a partner and co-sharer along with Allah with regard to these signs in creation. And thirdly, believing that Allah has someone to help and assist him in producing these signs, and in creating them, and in controlling them. And the Shaykh said, the proof for all of this, the proof that each of these three are deviation, is the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Saba, the 34th Surah, Ayah 22. قُلِ ادْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. With the explanation, call upon those whom you claim are partners along with Allah. They do not possess even an atom's weight. They do not possess or control even an atom's weight in the heavens or in the earth. And they have no share in that whatsoever. And he has no helper from amongst them at all. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, so Zahir, it means Mu'een, a helper or an assistant. So the ayah denies all of these three, that anyone else besides Allah controls any of these signs, or assists Allah, or rather is a partner along with Allah in that, or helps him in that. So the Shaykh said, so everything which negates Tawheed of Allah's Lordship enters under ilhad, deviation, with regard to his creational signs. Then he said, the second kind of signs, second category of Allah's signs are his ayat, which are shar'iyya, Allah's legislational signs, which is everything which the messengers came with regard to the revelation, such as the Qur'an. So Allah the Most High said, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Surah Al-Ankabut, the 29th Surah, Ayah 49. With the explanation, rather it is clear signs preserved in the chests Allah's legislational signs is again of three types. Firstly, disbelieving any information contained in them. Secondly, disobeying and opposing them with regard to their rulings. And thirdly, distorting and changing the information and rulings they contain. Then he summarizes by saying, and ilhad, deviation, with regard to both Allah's creational signs and his legislational signs, is haram, is forbidden. And some cases of it are kufr, unbelief, such as denying them, denying Allah's creational or legislational signs. Rahmatullah. Because whoever denies any of that, when he knows that Allah and his messenger informed of it, then he will be an unbeliever, a kafir. And there are some parts of it which will be a sin, a major sin, such as killing a soul who is innocent, and such as fornication. And there will be some cases of it which are lesser sins, such as looking at an unrelated woman with desire. Then the Shaykh finalizes by saying, he brings another ayah where ilhad, deviation, is mentioned. He said, and Allah the Most High said with regard to the haram, the sacred area around the Kaaba, the limits of the sacred precincts, Allah said with regard to that area, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd Surah, Ayah 25, with the explanation, and whoever desires ilhad, deviation, or wrongdoing there in the haram, then we will cause him to taste a painful punishment. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, so Allah described sins and wrongdoing as being ilhad, deviation. Because that's what's meant, he's saying. I mean, committing sins in the haram or wrongdoing, oppression. Because doing that is a deviation away from what is obligatory that the person should be upon in that area. Since the person should remain upon Allah's, he should remain upon the straight path of Allah the Most High, and whoever opposes that path, then he has al-hada, he has deviated away. So that's where we'll leave, that's the end of the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah's discussion, and then we'll leave the rest of what is contained in the chapter till next week. We'll take next week, inshallah. Shaykh Al-Fawzan discusses how this topic relates to how this chapter relates to tawassul, and how we are commanded to do tawassul, seek a means of drawing closer to Allah by his names, his perfect names. So he goes into what is the correct tawassul and what is false and wrong tawassul. So we'll take that next, and whatever is left, next time, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? With regard to, is there a hadith about memorizing the last 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, as a protection against the Dajjal, as well as memorizing the first 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf? Then the answer is that yes, there is a hadith in that regard. And we had something from that in Silsila As-Sahiha quite a long time ago. And what we had there was that what is most authentic is the hadith that mentions that memorizing 10 ayahs from the start of Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, is a protection from Ad-Dajjal. Memorizing 10 ayahs from the beginning of the surah is what is most authentic. Wallahu a'lam. Any further points of clarification?
Of course, when we affirm the names of Allah, no, it's better to use the term Bila Tamthil instead of Tashbih.
No.
On the second point, I don't understand why is it better to use Tamthil and Tashbih.
The Shaykh said, when we affirm for Allah his attributes, and we give the principle that we affirm Allah's attributes without any ta'atil, without depriving them of their meanings, and without takif, without saying how they are, and without tamthil, that we say without tamthil, without saying that they are like, the attributes of the Creator are like those of creation. it's better that we use the term tamthil than the term tashbih. It's better that we say that instead of saying without tashbih. The second reason he gave for that was that there are no two things in existence, no matter how different they are. It's two things in creation, but there are no two things in creation, no matter how different they are, except there will be some level of resemblance between them in one aspect or another. And then he said, even if it's just the very fact of existence, that one of them exists and the other exists. So there is some level of tashabuh, some level of resemblance in that. So if you say there's no tashbih whatsoever, there's no resemblance whatsoever, then it's not strictly true.
Okay.
For example, if you said a spider and a mountain, then if you said there's no resemblance whatsoever from any angle whatsoever, there's no tashbih whatsoever between the existence of a spider and a mountain. You'd imagine that they're very different. A spider is very different from a mountain. But if you look at it, the fact that the spider exists and the fact the mountain exists, there is tashabuh, there is a degree of resemblance in that sense. Even though the existence of the spider is very different to the existence of the mountain, then how greater is the existence of the Creator to the existence of anything from His creation? So it's better that we say there's no tamthil, there's no likeness. With regard to deviation, with regard to Allah's legislational signs, deviating with regard to the revelation that Allah sent down, he said it's of three kinds. Firstly, disbelieving in any information which His revelation contains, that is ilhad. Secondly, disobeying or opposing them with regard to the rulings that the revelation contains. Contains a level of ilhad, a level of deviation. And the third one, distorting or changing the information they contain or the rulings they contain. And with regard to the second one, opposing the rulings they contain, Shaykh broke it down and said, going against what they contain, it could be a major sin, such as killing someone, murdering someone, or fornication. Or it could be a lesser sin. Lesser meaning lesser than major. Doesn't mean it's not important. Mean lesser than major sin. Which is, for example, looking at a strange woman with desire. Wallahu a'lam.
This report that declared weak about Allah's mix.
The Sheikh, whether, for example, we mentioned that the chain of narration of some of the reports in the chapter, and likewise some of the reports brought in the explanation in Fathul Majid, some of the reports, the chains of narration are not authentic. This does not, however, negate the fact that there are these certain kinds of deviation, and that these are what the people of Shirk did. That doesn't negate that fact. We can, you know, from the tarikh or from other authentic narrations, we can establish that the people of Shirk indeed, and the ayah of the Quran is there, which mentions Allah, it mentions Al-Uzza, and mentions Manat. Then it can be extracted and understood that they did indeed do that. They extracted those names from the names. They took them from somewhere. Where did they take them from? Then they took them from the names of Allah. So just the fact that the chain of narration of a report is not authentic, it doesn't change the fact that this is what they did, and that these are, as the Sheikh said, these are different categories of deviation. So these things that make it, that extracting from Allah's names for idols, it is deviation with regard to His names. That cannot be denied. And making Allah's names indicate likeness between Him and the creation. then that likewise is a deviation with regard to his names. It's contrary to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon, and his companions, and the Salaf were upon. It's contrary to that, and it's deviation. So we just mentioned with regard to the chain of narration, just to let you know that this report, chain of narration, contains this man who is weak, that's all. Not to deny what is being said, that it's not correct. Allahu A'lam. With regard to the question that the Sheikh asked, that said there are some valuable issues that have already preceded in the book, the Sheikh already had explained them before. Was it the first one?
Yeah.
And the first of these was the question, are the names of Allah the Most High just merely titles, or are they attributes for Him? And the Sheikh is here responding to the like of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, those who deny the meanings of Allah's names, and they deny His attributes, and they say Ar-Rahim is just a name, it's nothing but a name. That's what the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila say. They say Allah's name, for example, Ar-Rahim, or they say As-Sami', the hearing one. They say it is just a name, just as this man here is called Ahmad, and that one there is called Zayd, and this one here is called Amr, then Allah is called As-Sami'. So it is just purely a name. Then when you say yes, but it is a name which indicates that Allah hears, they say no, it doesn't indicate that Allah hears, He doesn't have the attribute of hearing. So Shaykh is bringing this, and the scholars of the Salaf brought this, like of this saying, as a proof against them, that they are names of Allah. As-Sami' is a name of Allah, but As-Sami' is different to the name Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim indicates something. Ar-Rahim indicates that He is Dhu-Rahmah, that He is a possessor of mercy, one who bestows mercy upon His creation. And As-Sami', the hearing one, indicates that He has the attribute of hearing. So with regard to who each name is referring to, because they try and they bring a doubt, they say, look, you're telling me that I have to believe in As-Sami', the hearing one, and I have to worship Him. And I have to believe and worship Ar-Rahim. That's the second name. And I have to believe and worship Al-Basir, the seeing one. So you're asking me to worship three gods. This is what the like of the Mu'tazila say, to support their deviation. They say, if you're affirming what? As-Sami', and you're affirming Al-Basir, and you're affirming... So they say, rather, so the answer is that each of these, with regard to who they refer to one, who is Allah. They refer to Allah alone Himself. There's only one that they refer to. It's not more than one. It's one. It is Allah. But with regard to their meaning, then each of them is different. So with regard to the meaning contained in each of them, then each one of them is different.
I think he's on about another point.
Eh? Oh, Allahumma sta'an. I'm on the second point already, am I?
You're on the mutaraddi
point. Asif. I've moved on to the second point. Asif. Jazakallah khair. With regard to the first point, that they are not merely titles, that Allah's names, when they refer, with regard to who they refer to, then they refer to just Allah Himself. Yeah? So, in that sense, they are titles of Allah. Ar-Rahim is His title. It's the title of Allah, name of Allah. As-Sami' is His title. And so on. Al-Basir is His title. But with regard to each one of them, then each of them, it carries an attribute along with it. So with regard to each of them, then they comprise attributes of Allah. They are not just titles, without an attribute contained in them. No, they do contain attributes. Yeah, with regard to Allah's that, meaning Himself. The Ar-Rahman, for example, is a name which refers to Allah's that, Himself. Ar-Rahman, meaning the one possessing the attribute of mercy. Whereas Ar-Rahim indicates that mercy being attached to His creation. Allah has mercy upon His creation. So some of His attributes are with regard to Himself, that He is Al-Quddus, As-Salam, the one flawless, the one free of any imperfection. That's with regard to himself. So with regard to the like of those attributes, then we affirm the name, and we affirm the attribute that goes along with the name. And with regard to the name such as Ar-Rahim, the one which has an effect upon the creation, that we believe in the name, and we believe in the attribute of mercy that goes along with it, and we believe in the effect of it. Allah has mercy upon the creation, and therefore we act and we seek out His mercy. We seek the means to attain His mercy. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله Amma ba'ad. Then to continue with Kitab al-Tawheed, then we are on chapter 50. Babu Qawlillahi ta'ala Walillahi al-asma'ul husna fad'uuhu biha wadharu alladhina yulhiduna fi asma'ih. Al-Ayah. Chapter 50. With regard to the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 180, with the explanation, to Allah belongs the most perfect and beautiful names. So worship Him and call upon Him by them. And abandon those who deviate with regard to His names. And we had some of the tafsir mentioned from the Salaf. And last week we took a number of principles and matters pertaining to the names and attributes of Allah from the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Then today I want to read what Shaykh al-Fawzan hafidhullah brings in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed with regard to this ayah, with regard to tawassul, about calling upon Allah by these names. So Shaykh al-Fawzan says, this chapter here was brought by the Shaykh, rahimahullah, in the book of Tawheed, in order to make clear the obligation of affirming Allah's names and attributes. And also, in order to make clear the tawassul, the seeking a means to draw closer to Allah that is correct and prescribed, and the tawassul, seeking a means to draw closer to Allah that is prohibited. Because the matter of tawassul is such that a great number of the people from the earliest times went astray with regard to this matter, with regard to the matter of tawassul, seeking a means to draw closer to Allah. Many people from earlier times onwards went astray in this matter. So the mushriks, the idol worshippers, they worship other than Allah. And they call those things that they worship intermediaries towards Allah, intermediaries between them and Allah. So they say, I mean the mushriks, they say about those things they direct worship to. They say, and then he quotes two ayahs. They say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. They say, we do not worship them, we do not direct worship to them, except so that they can draw us closer to Allah. And Allah the Most High said about them in Surah Yunus, the 10th Surah, Ayah 18, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ ويقولون هؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله. With the explanation, and they worship other things besides Allah, that which cannot harm them, nor can it benefit them. And they say, these people of shirk say, they are our intercessors with Allah. The Shaykh said, so these people, mean the people of shirk, they do not worship these objects of worship for themselves, because they know that these objects of worship cannot create anything and cannot provide provision and cannot give life and cannot give death. Rather, they merely claim that they are using these objects of worship as intermediaries between them and Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. From the angle of wasila. That's what the excuse that they bring, why they are directing worship to these things. They say it's from the angle of wasila, using them as a means of approach. The Shaykh said, so Allah the Most High rejected this from them in the Quran, making clear that this tawassul and this action of theirs is kufr, unbelief, and is shirk. And that it is something which Allah the Perfect and Most High has not legislated for His servants. Meaning, taking intermediaries between them and Allah and directing acts of worship towards them. And the Shaykh said, and then after them, meaning after the people of shirk, came al-Quburiyun, the grave worshippers, and as-Sufiyya, and the Sufis. And before them, the Rafida Shia, and the Batiniya. All of them taking this same orientation, which was taken by the mushriks. So they came to worship dead people and to seek rescue and aid from the dead people. And they called upon them and invoked them besides Allah. And they made sacrifices to the dead. And they made vows, nadhr, to the dead. And they say, we know that these are just created beings. And we know that they cannot create anything and cannot bring provision. However, we have taken them as a means, as intermediaries between us and Allah. Then the Shaykh mentions some ayahs which they always try and use as evidence for what they are doing. The Shaykh said, and sometimes they try and use as evidence the saying of Allah the Most High, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Surah Al-Isra, the 17th Surah, Ayah 57. With the explanation, those whom they call upon themselves desire a means of drawing closer to Allah, a wasila. And that which the earlier peoples, the Jews and the Christians, the prophets, and those whom they took as objects to direct worship to, they themselves sought a wasila to Allah. They sought a means of drawing closer to Allah. So these people of shirk try and use this ayah as a proof for themselves. And they try and use the saying of Allah the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, Ayah 35. With the explanation, O you who believe, fear and reverence and keep your duty to Allah and seek a means of drawing closer to Him, a wasila, and strive in His cause that you should prosper. The Shaykh said, so they think that the wasila, the means of drawing closer to Allah, They think that the wasila which Allah has commanded should be taken means to make set up intermediaries between them and Allah. In other words, these people who commit shirk and use these ayahs to try and support themselves, they say the wasila in this ayah, what it means is we should set up intermediaries between us and Allah, to whom we direct worship. The Shaykh said, and this understanding of theirs is batil, false and futile. It was not meant by Allah the Perfect and Most High. Rather, Allah criticized the mushriks for doing this. And Allah passed the judgment that this is unbelief and that this is shirk. And Allah declared himself free of this. Then he quotes the completion of these earlier ayahs, that Allah said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 18. That Allah is perfect above that shirk which they associate along with him. And he said in the ayah from Surah Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 3, إن الله لا يهدي من هو كاذب كفار. Allah does not guide those, or Allah does not guide the one who is a liar and unbeliever. And just to read the completion of the ayahs here, so you can see the full context. And the first ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, the ayah from Surah Yunus, ayah 18, is the ayah, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ قُلْ أَتُنَبِّئُونَ اللَّهَ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. With the explanation, and they worship other things besides Allah, worshipping that which cannot harm them nor benefit them. And they say, these are our intercessors along with Allah. Say, do you seek to inform Allah of that which he is not known to him in the heavens or the earth? Perfect is Allah and free and high above that which they, that shirk which they do with him, that which they associate along with him. So in that ayah, Allah describes this taking of intercessors as being worshipping other things besides him, and declares himself free of it. And the second ayah, أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي مَا هُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ كَاذِبٌ كَفَّارٌ. Ayah 3 from Surah Zumar, the 39th surah, with the explanation, the religion is to be made purely and sincerely for Allah. And those who take others besides Allah as awliya, they say, we do not worship them except to draw us closer to Allah. Then Allah will judge between them in that which they dispute about. Allah does not guide one who is a great liar, a great unbeliever. So in this ayah, Allah mentions about those who seek to take intermediaries between them and Allah. He describes them as being a great liar and a great unbeliever. Then the Shaykh said, so Allah makes it clear that doing this is kufr and is shirk, and he declares himself free of it. So he has not legislated for his servants whatsoever, ever at all, that they should make any intermediaries between them and him. Taking intermediaries to convey to him the needs of his servants. Rather, he has commanded that they should call upon him directly. What Allah has actually legislated is that they should call upon him, make dua to him directly. As he said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ Surah Ghafir, the 40th surah, ayah 60, with the explanation, and your Lord said, call upon me and worship me, I will respond to you. Then the Shaykh quotes the hadith, hadith Qudsi, or rather the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again proving that Allah has called, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has conveyed from his Lord the command that we are to call upon Allah directly without any intermediaries. So he quotes the hadith, the saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah, he said, our Lord descends every night to the lowest heaven when the last third of the night remains, and he says, is there anyone to make a request so that I should give to him? Is there anyone who will call upon me, make supplication to me, so that I should respond to him? Is there anyone who will seek my forgiveness so that I forgive him? Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And you'll find it in Bukhari as hadith number 6321 and as hadith number 7494 in the book of Tahajjud and elsewhere, and by Muslim in the book of the Traveller's Prayers. And the Shaykh said, so Allah commanded that supplication should be made to him, and that forgiveness should be sought from him, and that he should be asked himself directly. Because he, the Perfect and Most High, is such that يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. The ayah from Surah Taha, the 20th surah, ayah 7. That he knows that which is most secret and that which is most hidden. The Shaykh said, and Allah knows all the conditions of his servants. Nothing is hidden from him, neither in the earth nor in the heavens. And he says, and intermediaries and agents are only used by those who do not know the condition of the people. Those who do not know the state of the subjects in the land, from the human kings and leaders. He's saying, oh, the only ones who need intermediaries to be aware of what the people are upon, he said, are like human kings and human leaders, those who do not know the condition of the people and the state which the subjects are upon. Those who are such that the condition of their subjects is hidden from them, and the condition of the people and the people's needs, all of this is hidden from them, so they need someone who can inform them, inform these human kings. But as for Allah, the Majestic and Most High, then nothing whatsoever is hidden from him in the earth nor in the heavens. He knows everything. He hears everything. He hears that which is most secret, and he knows that which is in the hearts. Even if a person does not speak with his tongue, Allah still knows it. So Allah has no need of taking those in between who will convey things to him. He has no need of intermediaries between him and his servants. Then the Shaykh said, as for their seeking to use as evidence the saying of Allah the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ, the ayah that preceded with the explanation, O you who believe, fear and reverence and keep your duty to Allah and seek a wasila, a means of drawing closer to him. And they try to use as evidence the saying of Allah the Most High, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةَ أيهم أقرب. The ayah with the explanation, those whom they call upon, they themselves seek a means of drawing closer to Allah, the Shaykh said. So these two ayahs do not mention anything about taking intermediaries between Allah and His servants. Rather, the meaning of tawassul in the Arabic language is at-taqarrub, drawing closer. In other words, the people of shirk, they try and say what it means is to put somebody in the middle. It means to make an intermediary in between. That is the meaning of wasila. So the Shaykh is rebutting this and saying, rather, in the Arabic language, even in the language, the meaning is at-taqarrub. The meaning of tawassul in the language is taqarrub, drawing closer. It is said in the language, tawassala ilayhi. The person did tawassul towards someone, meaning he drew closer to him. Wa wasala ilayhi. He became close to him. And the wasil, the person who does this, who does tawassul, meaning one who draws close. And the word wasila, in the language, it means as-sabab wa-tariq alladhi yuwassilu ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasila means the means and the path which leads to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Then he explains, so what is this wasila? What is this path that leads to Allah and draws closer to Allah? He said, so that which draws closer to Allah is obedience to Him. Ta'atuhu, acting in obedience to Him, Him the Perfect and Most High, and His ibadah, worshipping Him, and doing whatever He has legislated upon the tongues of His prophets and messengers. That is al-wasila. That is the means of drawing closer. Then he makes a further point to answer another argument which they bring, because they try and say that, but this prophet or this righteous man, he has a very great status with Allah. They try and bring that as an argument that why they can still do tawassul with them. The Shaykh said, and any created being, no matter how great his position or status with Allah, such as the prophets, al-anbiya, and the messengers, al-rusul, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, and the righteous people, and the awliya, the beloved servants of Allah, yet still, even along with their status, Allah has not legislated for us that we should ask them for anything by their position. He has not legislated that we should ask them for anything by their position with Allah. Rather, Allah has commanded us that we should seek tawassul, we should seek a means of drawing closer to Him by our own actions, not by the actions that somebody else is doing. That we should draw closer to Allah by being more obedient to Allah and seeking to do acts of worship and devotion to Him. As for the fact that so-and-so has a great status and a great position with Allah, then that is nothing from our deeds. And it has nothing to do with us. That is something special and particular to them. And Allah has not legislated whatsoever that we should ask Him by the status of anyone. So the Shaykh is making clear that he has not legislated that we should even make a request of Allah by mentioning because of the status of somebody or other. He has not legislated that. Nor that we should seek to use, or nor that we should seek to draw closer to Him by the person of somebody else, nor by the status of someone else, the status which they have with Allah the Perfect and Most High. So all of this is batil, false and futile. And the Shaykh said, so when it becomes clear that al-wasila, the means of drawing closer to Allah, which is mentioned in the Qur'an, when it becomes clear that it means at-ta'ah, obedience to him, that is what draws a person closer to Allah the Mighty and Majestic. And when it becomes clear that taking up intermediaries from the creation between Allah and his servants, this is something which Allah has not legislated, nor his messenger, then when that becomes clear, it becomes obligatory upon us to draw closer to Allah by obeying him. And tawassul, seeking to draw closer to Allah, if it is accompanied by anything involving acts of devotion and worship towards a created being, such as making sacrifice to a person or making vows to a person, then this action becomes shirk akbar. It becomes major shirk. It becomes shirk if a person claims that he is seeking to draw closer to Allah by performing an act of worship to a created being, such as sacrificing something for that person or making a vow for that person. He said, then this, what the person is saying, is drawing closer to Allah. It is actually major shirk which makes a person outside the fold of Islam. And if a person seeks to draw closer to Allah not doing any acts of worship for a person, but just seeking to use that person's status as a means between himself and Allah, then that will be bid'ah. That will be innovation. And it will be a means leading on to shirk. So then he gives some examples, such as making a request of Allah based upon the status of so-and-so, or making a request of Allah by the right of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or by the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or by the person of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then all of this is counted as being a bid'ah, an innovation in your supplication. It is not something legislated by Allah, and it is a means which leads to shirk. Because if a person begins by seeking nearness, or if a person begins by seeking to draw closer to Allah, first of all, by the status of a created person, or by the position of that person, or by the right that he says that person has with Allah, then this will lead him on to eventually directing worship to that person. Just as happened to the mushriks in the earlier and in the later times, those whose affair began initially by merely seeking tawassul, seeking to use things for tawassul between them and Allah, and they ended up doing major shirk which took them out of the religion. And we ask Allah for safekeeping and safety. Ameen. Then the Shaykh said, and some people upon error, they seek to use a word which occurs in a treatise written by the Shaykh, meaning Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Some people upon error seek to use a saying that he said in one of his books, and they misuse it. A saying of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, that he said, tawassul is a matter relating to fiqh and ijtihad. A matter of fiqh, a question of fiqh, and a matter for personal deduction, about which there is to be no criticism. That's what they try and use, this saying here. The Shaykh said, this is what they say, and they attribute this saying to the Shaykh. Then he clarifies and says, and the reality is that the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he explained the matter in detail with his saying, tawassul, rahmakallah, tawassul which is free of any worship directed towards the person whose status is being used as a means. So tawassul which is free of any worship of that person. Rather, it is purely and simply using a person's right or his status, then that will be bid'ah. That will be innovation. And it will not be shirk. But as for tawassul, which means directing action, which means directing actions of devotion and worship to that person, such as sacrificing for him and making vows towards him, and the rest of the types of worship, فَهَذَا شِرْكٌ أَكْبَرٌ, then this is major shirk. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so this is the meaning of the saying of the Sheikh. I mean, he's just making clear what kind of tawassul, by making a mention of a person's position with Allah, a person asking Allah by the position of so-and-so, he makes it clear that in itself, if it doesn't go any beyond that and doesn't involve any worship of that person, then it will be a bid'ah. But if it involves directing any worship towards that person, they say they are taken as for tawassul, then it will be major shirk. So the Shaykh clarified. Because some of them are major shirk. And the Shaykh said, so this is a very serious affair. I mean, it's a matter of tawassul, the whole affair of tawassul and what the people use and bring into the matter under the name of tawassul. Because through this doubt of tawassul, most of the creation have gone astray from the earliest times to the later times, because they do not distinguish between a wasila, a means of drawing closer to Allah, which is prohibited, and a means of drawing closer to Allah that is correct and legislated. Then the Shaykh clarifies and distinguishes between the two of these. He said, because at tawassul, seeking to draw closer to Allah, is of two categories. Firstly, tawassulun mamnu', tawassul which is prohibited, forbidden. And that is seeking to draw closer to Allah by means of the status of a created person, or by the right of a created person and his position, or by that person's self. So these cases here will be either shirk or bid'ah. I mean, some of these things here will fall into shirk, and some will be bid'ah, which is a means leading on to shirk. Then the Shaykh said, as for at-tawassul al-mashru', as for tawassul which is correct and legislated, he said, and he defines it, that is what occurs in the book and the sunnah. That is mentioned in the book and the sunnah and is commanded in the book and the sunnah, whatever that is. And from this is this noble ayah which the Shaykh brings at the start of the chapter, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, and for Allah are the most beautiful and perfect names, so use them to call upon him and worship him by. I mean, that is correct and legislated tawassul. Allah has commanded it. And he says, so tawassul, seeking to draw closer to Allah, is of various types. Which the permissible tawassul is of various types. And he mentions the three permissible types, permissible and legislated types. He said, the first category, the first type is tawassul, seeking to draw closer to Allah by means of his names and his attributes. Such that a person says, meaning when a person is going to make dua, that he says, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman Urhamni, O extremely merciful one, have mercy upon me. That he says, Ya Ghafoor Ughfirli, O forgiving one, forgive me. Ya Tawwabu Tub Alayya, O one who guides the people to repenting and accepts their repentance, guide me to repentance and accept my repentance. Ya Ghani Yughnini, O independent and rich one who has no need, grant me independence grant me riches that will suffice me, and so on. So when the person makes supplication to Allah, he mentions whatever name of Allah befits his need. So that is the first type of legislated and correct means of seeking to draw closer to Allah. Then he makes a point. And it is not befitting that you bring in your supplication a name which does not befit your need. So you do not say, Allahumma ghfir li innaka shadidul iqab. So a person would not say in his supplication, Oh Allah, forgive me, you are the one who punishes severely. That would not be befitting that a person should say that. Rather, when you make a supplication to Allah for a certain need, then you mention that of Allah's names which befits what you're requesting. Then he said the second type of legislated and correct tawassul. He said it is to seek to draw closer to Allah, the Mighty, or to seek to draw closer to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, by means of the supplication of righteous people. Then he explains, so if there is a salih, a righteous and good man, who is alive, hay, and is mawjood, he's present, then you can go to him. So he made the condition that the person is actually present. I mean, actually present, not like they claim that, you know, that with their awliya. Well, he is actually physically present, and he is hay, he is alive, and that he's one of the righteous people. Then you can go to him, and you can say, make supplication to Allah for me, that Allah should forgive me, or that Allah should give me provision, or that Allah should cure me. Or that when the people are suffering from drought, that they can go to the righteous people and ask the righteous people to make supplication to Allah the Most High to send down rain. Then this is correct and legislated. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, he prayed for rain, and he used the supplication of Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I mean, when the people were suffering from drought, Umar radiallahu an, who was the Khalifa at the time, he went to Al-Abbas, who was present in Medina, and he was alive in Medina. He went to him and asked him to make supplication along with them. And he said, O Allah, this is what Umar said, O Allah, we used to seek rain and make requests to you for rain by means of our Prophet, meaning we used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua to Allah. And you used to send down rain to us, but now we seek rain from you by the uncle of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So stand up, O Abbas, and make supplication. So that report makes it clear that what Umar did, he didn't just sit in his house and mention the word, make dua to Allah, and mention, O Allah, by the position of Al-Abbas, we ask you for rain. No. He went to Abbas, radiallahu anhu, and asked him to come and make dua. So he made tawassul by means of the supplication of Al-Abbas. And the Shaykh said, so Al-Abbas made supplication, and the rest of the people said Ameen to his supplication. The Shaykh said, so this is tawassul by means of the supplication of the righteous people. And this was just the same as the tawassul done by Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when he got Yazid al-Jurshi to make supplication, and others as well. As for a dead person, then it is not permissible that you seek anything from him. So if someone has died, it's not permissible for you to seek anything from them. So it is not permissible for you to go to the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or to the grave of any others besides him from the righteous people, and say to them in the grave, make supplication to Allah for us. That is not permissible, because the companions had not used to go to the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam for that. Rather, when they suffered from drought and they were only a few meters removed away from the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they still did not go to him. They did not go to the grave. Rather, they made a request of Al-Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he should make supplication. Why? Because Al-Abbas was alive and was present and was able to make supplication. As for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he had died, and it is not permissible for you to seek anything from a dead or a deceased person. neither supplication nor anything else. Then the Shaykh finishes by mentioning the third kind of legislated and correct tawassul. He said, it is seeking to draw closer to Allah, tawassul, by your righteous actions, by means of the righteous actions you have done. And he gave an example, such as the hadith of the three men in the cave, who were in, those men, who three men who were in the cave when a large rock fell down at the mouth of the cave and blocked the exit, so that they could not escape. So each one of them did tawassul to Allah, sort of means of drawing closer to Allah, by mentioning a righteous action which he had already done for Allah the Mighty and Majestic. So one of them, he sought tawassul, a means of drawing close to Allah, by the fact that he kept himself chaste and did not fall into that which was forbidden upon him. And the second one sought tawassul, a means of drawing close to Allah, by mentioning his good and righteous treatment of his parents. And the third one, he sought tawassul, a means of drawing closer to Allah, by the fact that he guarded the right of an employee of his who had disappeared and then who had gone away, and then when he returned he gave him his full pay. I mean, gave him everything that it had grown into. So the Shaykh said, so therefore Allah rescued them from that situation. And the situation is just as Allah the Perfect and Most High said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. The saying of the believers, that they say, O our Lord, we have heard a caller calling us to Iman, that you should believe truly in your Lord, you should have true Iman in your Lord. So we have truly believed. So therefore, O our Lord, forgive us our sins and wipe away our evil deeds and cause us to die along with the righteous. Shaykh said, so in this ayah, it's mentioned that the believers sought a means of drawing close to Allah by the fact that they had Iman, they truly believed in the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why they mentioned at the start of the ayah, Allah mentioned about the believers, that they say, we have believed in the Messenger. So they're using that to tawassul with Allah. And he mentioned a second ayah in this regard. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. He's saying with the explanation, O our Lord, we have believed in that which you sent down, and we have followed the Messenger. So therefore, write us down along with the witnesses. Shaykh said, so they use as tawassul, a means of drawing closer to Allah, the fact that they have Iman and have followed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, likewise, seeking tawassul, a means of drawing closer to Allah, by tawheed, by the fact that you are upon tawheed. That a person says in his supplication, أسألك بأنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت. Supplication is authentic. A person says to Allah, O Allah, I ask you by the fact that you are Allah and that none has the right to be worshipped except you. So in that supplication a person is asking Allah by the fact that he agrees to that, he believes in that. He agrees that Allah alone has the right to be worshipped. So he's asking Allah by means of his tawheed. And the Shaykh gives a last example. Just as the noon, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, he sought a means of drawing closer to Allah when he was in the belly of the whale. Then he quotes the ayah, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. With the explanation, so he, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he called upon Allah when he was in the depths of the darkness of the belly of the whale, the darkness of the sea, the darkness of the waves, the darkness of the night, and the darkness of the clouds. But he called upon Allah, saying, None has the right to be worshipped except you. You are perfect. I have been one of the wrongdoers. So this is the correct and legislated tawassul. That's where the Sheikh ends his discussion on the matter of tawassul. And just very briefly, with regard to Fath al-Majid, and we'll just quickly take some points from what occurs in Fath al-Majid. Then initially, the explainer quotes the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu an, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah, or rather he said, Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'een isman, mi'a illa wahidan, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah, wa huwa witrun yuhibbu al-witr. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu an, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has 99 names, or there are for Allah 99 names, 100 except one. Whoever correctly preserves them will enter paradise. And he is one, he loves that which is single. The explainer said, this hadith is reported in the two sahihs, that of Al-Bukhari and that of Muslim, as a hadith of Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And Al-Bukhari quotes it as a hadith from Abu al-Yaman, from Abu al-Zinad, from Al-A'raj, from Abu Huraira radiallahu an, as a hadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith, as we know, is preceded. Then the explainer, and we'll quote it here for clarification, the Shaykh said, this hadith is also reported by At-Tirmidhi with a long addition to it, which is Allah, this, with the initial part of the hadith being the same, and then at the end of the hadith, يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرُ, Allah loves that which is single, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ. The hadith continues, and the hadith lists 99 names for Allah. Then this hadith, as we should know, this hadith with a long list of names is not authentic as a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The explainer himself says, well, initially we'll just quote what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said about this hadith, and there are different versions of this hadith quoting different names, one reported by Tirmidhi, one by Ibn Majah, also by Ibn Hibban and others as well, Ibn Khuzaymah and others, and they quote slight differences in the long list of names. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, the preservers of the people of Hadith, they say about this edition, I mean the edition that quotes this long list of names, that this edition was something gathered by Al-Walid ibn Muslim, taken from some of his teachers. In this list of names, he just learned these names and gathered them from his teachers, not reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is another hadith which is even weaker than this one reported by Ibn Majah. That was what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said. Then the explainer says here in Fath al-Majid, that which a group of the memorizers of hadith, the preservers of hadith, hold to be correct is that this long mention of all these names, this list of names in this hadith, is mudraj. I mean, it's not part of the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's something introduced by narrators further down the chain. It's not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was what the great scholar Ibn Kathir also mentioned in his tafsir as well. Then we'll just mention something that, an important point that the explainer brings here in Fath al-Majid at the end of this chapter. He only brings a short chapter, and at the end of it he says, he brings some important points with regard to the names and attributes of Allah. He said, the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, there is a fine point of benefit, which is that whatever is mentioned as information about Allah or as an attribute of the Lord, the Exalted and Most High, then it will be of different categories. And he mentions six different categories. So he's saying, Muqayyim is saying, as for texts concerning Allah's names and attributes, or concerning His attributes, and concerning things which are said about Allah, these texts will fall into six categories. And then he breaks these six categories down. Firstly, those texts which refer to Allah's that, His self. Such as you're saying that, Allah's self, and His being mawjood, His existing, and His being shay, His being something. The second kind of text in this regard are those things which refer to Allah's attributes and His characteristics, such as the saying that He is Al-Aleem, the All-Knowing, Al-Qadir, the All-Powerful, As-Sami', the All-Hearing, and Al-Basir, the All-Seeing. The third kind of text in this regard are those which refer to Allah's actions, such as that He is Al-Khaliq, that He is the Creator, that He is Ar-Raziq, He is the Provider, who provides whatever provision the creation need. The fourth kind of text will be at Tanzihul Mahab, pure declarations of Allah's being free of any deficiency. And then these texts must necessarily include affirmation of something positive along with them, because there is no perfection in something being purely and simply absent. The Shaykh here is indicating a point where the innovators go astray when they speak about Allah, that some of them, such as Mufawwida and the like of them, when they talk about their Lord, they just give a long list of things that He is not. If they're asked to describe Allah, they say Allah is not this, and Allah is not that, and He is not this, and He is not that, and He is not this, and He is not that, and you'll hardly find anything that they actually affirm for Allah as being His attribute. Just give a long list of things which He is not. So the Shaykh makes the point here, purely saying that something is not the case, that does not contain any perfection and praise, unless it affirms something positive along with it. So he's saying, in other words, whenever we find in the text that there is denial of something, it contains along with it affirmation of something positive. He says, such as Allah's saying about Himself that He is Al-Quddus, the one who is free of all deficiencies, which carries along with it the meaning that Allah is the perfect and the venerated one. And He's saying about Himself that He is As-Salam, the one free of having anything which resembles Him, which carries along with it the meaning that He is perfect and flawless. Then the Shaykh said, the fifth kind of text, he said, which is something that most of the people do not mention, which is a text which contains a name of Allah, which indicates many attributes of His, a name which is not specific to a single characteristic, rather it indicates a number of meanings, such as Allah's name Al-Majid, the one perfect in glory and honour, and His name Al-Azim, the great and tremendous one, and His name As-Samad, the Lord upon whom everything depends. Then he explains, he says, because Al-Majid, it means the one who has many attributes from the attributes of perfection. And the very wording Al-Majid, the one perfect in glory and honour, it indicates that fact. Because the wording Al-Majid in the language indicates extensiveness and increase and quantity. So from this in the language is the saying, the tree becomes majd, the tree becomes great, extensive and plentiful and huge. And the she camel becomes great, meaning great when it eats a lot. He said, and likewise, mean this, the meaning of Majid, meaning great and extensive and plentiful and so on. Likewise, in his saying, Dhul Arashil Majid, Surah Al Buruj, the 15th ayah, with the explanation that Allah is the owner of the throne which is Majid. Extensive, expansive, etc., etc. He said, this is a characteristic of the throne, the Arsh, showing its extensiveness and its tremendous size and its honour. Then he makes a very fine point and says, and consider how this name of Allah Al-Majid, how it occurs along with seeking salat from Allah, it occurs along with making request to Allah that he should extol, do salat upon his messenger. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in the tashahhud, in the prayer, we're taught to seek Allah's extolling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the name that we're told to use along with that in the supplication is to describe Allah as being Hamidun Majid. He said, because this is a place where increase and extensive grant is sought. Along with this grant being something great in quantity and something that should persist. So therefore, along with this request that Allah should do salat, meaning Allah should extol the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with this request, it is appropriate that this name, Al-Majid, should be mentioned. I mean, because Al-Majid in the language indicates extensiveness, increase, quantity, and continuation. Shaykh Ibn Qayyim said, just as you say, اغفرلي وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. Just as you say when you make the supplication to Allah, oh, forgive me and have mercy upon me. Indeed, you are the oft-forgiving, the one who bestows mercy. So this is a case of seeking a means of drawing closer to Allah, tawassul, by means of his names and his attributes. And that is the closest of wasail. That's the closest means of drawing closer to Allah and the most beloved means to him, meaning using Allah's names and attributes. And from this is the hadith mentioned in At-Tirmidhi, hadith means sahih, authentic. Alidhu biya dhal jalali wal ikram. Make a great deal of mention to Allah in your supplications of ya dhal jalali wal ikram. O majestic one, O one possessing great honour. So that again is tawassul to Allah by means of his names. Then Ibn al-Qayyim said, and a further case of this is his saying in the supplication, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anna laka alhamd, la ilaha illa ant al-mannan, badi'u samawati wal-ard, ya dhal jalali wal-ikram. Hadith sahih from a hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, reported by Ahmad and Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi.